Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Nice one, Stiz.
That was actually Dan Ball. I got to give him credit. I was looking for a song that, you know.
Dan Ball.
About time we had a producer who was on the ball.
Hey, how about that?
Get used to those, people.
Dan Ball, who will make his big debut on the show tomorrow. Very excited about that.
Let's go.
You'll all get to know him soon enough. In the meantime, that was both Jerod Mayo and Drake May bemoaning the fact that this offensive line, mostly, there was also some other guys committing penalties, but it was mostly guys up front, just a constant barrage of false starts, lining up in the neutral zone in some cases, holding, you name it. The offensive line has been bad all year, certainly, but there's a difference between a talent gap and no discipline, right? I mean, like, these aren't talented offensive linemen. These aren't blue chippers, as you said, guys on the O-line at the tackle position, really anywhere, and some of that's due to injury, not much of it, but some of it's due to that. That doesn't explain why week in and week out they're out there committing just scores of penalties and setting Drake May back on every single drive. He was at second in perpetuity, was on second and 15 the entire game, it seemed like. Every single drive, there was something pushing him back. And eventually, even veteran quarterbacks get fed up with crap like that. A 22-year-old out there with no wide receiver trying to make it happen on second and 15 every single drive. What are you supposed to do? I mean, I felt bad for him in that regard for sure. But it just seems like something that you have to be able to coach out of these guys somehow. And it just gets worse every week.
You'd think. You said week to week. Month to month. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So we were efforting. I don't think we ever were able to find it. But Hunter Henry in early August, second week of August, during a press conference on the side of the training camp practice field, and I'm paraphrasing here, but said, we need to get rid of the errors that take no talent. Basically, to remove things that aren't a question of talent. And that is lining up properly. That's knowing the snap count, right? If you can't do that, the operation is basically what Bill Belichick used to call it, the operation. We got to get the operation right. They can't get the operation right. That was in early August. So early September, early October, early November. 3.5 months later, It is still a massive problem. Why?
Don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't think that there's any real quick fix to it. Why is it a problem? Because they have no one. They have nobody better. I mean, that's basically the issue here.
Can't they figure it out? Like, Vidarian Lowe seems like a nice fellow.
Right.
Hell, we had Gerard Mayo tell us he likes to smile. Mm-hmm. He's a good guy.
And right? that was the explanation for why guys were laughing and joking in the lot. Well, Vidarian Lowe is just a smiley guy.
Yeah, I mean, that may be true. There are people like that. Do you know people like that, that just smile in awkward situations?
Yes.
It often gets you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in the locker room post-loss, a state trooper pulls you over, mm-hmm. like... If you smile in stressful situations...
Christian Barmore, maybe if you smiled, it wouldn't have...
That's true. Maybe he would have helped him a little bit instead of screaming.
Right.
But it can annoy people, and it kind of gets you in more trouble.
Mm.
But Vidarian Lowe seems like a nice guy. Seems like he works hard. Seems like he cares. So why can't he figure it out? Like, what's the block?
I don't know.
What's the mental or physical block preventing him from... Again, if you tell me Vidarian Lowe gets killed by Chop Robinson... Then I'll go, well, I mean, Chop Robinson is a really good young pass rusher.
Right.
Vidarian Lowe is. No. We're not getting to that point. We're getting to the point where he can't line up. And Drake May answered it well, I thought, earlier when we asked him about these. You can't tell me it's not annoying, frustrating, whatever the negative emotional energy you feel when drive after drive, play after play, series after series, you look up and you're 5 yards from the back end of the sticks. The literal behind the sticks, 3rd and 16. You're right. Tom Brady. Go run the numbers. Bet you Tom Brady doesn't have great numbers 3rd and 16 in his career. Bet you Peyton Manning didn't. Bet you Aaron Rodgers didn't.
Yeah, no one likes to be 3rd and long.
No, it's hard.
And long, 1st and long. I mean, it's every single series. They were some. It's 15 yards somehow.
And it's 3 months later.
Right.
For guys that I do like and respect, I'm talking mostly about Vidarian Lowe here. I don't know as much about DeMontre Jacobs, who did get benched for City So. But why can't Vidarian Lowe figure, is it just, you know, the mental yips kind of thing? I don't have an answer for it. And obviously they don't have an answer for it, because if they had an answer for it, I feel like they would at least attempt to figure it out or fix it.
Yeah, I think that if there was, and again, I mean, we heard Mayo after the game, or not after the game, this morning with Greg Hill, asked about, well, if you had different players to sub in, would you be doing things differently? He said, yeah, of course I would be.
Right.
And Vidarian Lowe is kind of the poster child for all of that, unfortunately. This is a guy who, you know, was he even drafted? He was a 6th-round pick, I want to think, for the Vikings. Like, he wasn't some guy that was well-regarded, and he kind of bounced around, and the Patriots picked him up and thought, you know, this could be a depth tackle. And then when Trent Brown hit the bricks, all of a sudden, this guy's your starter. And so here you are. This is what happens when you neglect your offensive line for so long. And Belichick did this too. He neglected the offensive line. He neglected the wide receiver room. Belichick also neglected the quarterback room, let's be honest here. There wasn't really too much of the offense that I feel like Belichick was doing correctly or preparing correctly on a week-to-week basis. And that's why you have this continuation of a basically bottom-of-the-barrel offense here that's 32nd and 31st in all these different statistical categories. But part of that has to do with the fact that you have an offensive line that in some cases you have fill-ins. You have guys who are pulled off the practice squad because of injuries or because Nick Leverett couldn't play or whatever it is.
In all cases, not named Onwenu.
Right. And Vidarian Lowe was not one of those cases. Vidarian Lowe was someone that you projected to be a starter all the way in camp, right? Who was the left tackle?
Okorafor.
Okorafor was not really, though. I mean, he was...
He started the season opener.
Right, but I don't think anybody really expected him to be the full-on, okay, here's your left tackle all season
long. Elliot Wolf did.
Right, but that didn't last very long. Fine, all right, so you had him for a week or two, and then he quit the team, and then Vidarian Lowe was your only backup. So, fine. Okorafor is someone they did spend money on.
High school, he quit the team.
He did. I mean, he did quit the team.
And then he quit.
But even if he had stayed, then you still have a crappy left tackle, right? Like, I mean, he couldn't do it. It's the reason he quit the team is because he couldn't do it. So no matter where you want to start with all of this, there was never a functional offensive line in the plan at any point. You know, like that. How are you supposed to win that way? How are you supposed to coach that up? Like, it just, after a while, these questions can't be answered, you know?
And that's why, that's my most specific concern about Elliot Wolf. It's not just that he had a bad draft, but he had a bad draft and a bad offseason in the two areas I now need to trust you to go fix: wide receiver and offensive line, right? We're thinking they need 3 offensive linemen,
mm-hmm.
potentially.
Yeah.
If you have Andrews and Onwenu, and I'm not even sure I would prepare for life without Andrews moving forward. Like, I'd have.
He said he wants to play again.
No, I know, but he's getting older.
Too,
like,
right, yeah.
I just think you should have a center, and maybe that's Cole Strange. Maybe Cole Strange develops into the next starting center mm-hmm. behind Andrews. But so we need Elliot Wolf to go out and get 3 starting caliber offensive linemen. In an offseason when he didn't get one, he couldn't find one. He came up with a terrible plan. And then we're going to need him to go out and get multiple wide receivers. In an offseason when he went out and got multiple wide receivers, Javon Baker doesn't play, KJ Osborne doesn't play, and Jalen Polk barely plays.
Right.
The guys he brought in to bolster or be the centerpiece or be young guns can't play.
Can't beat out the junk you already have.
Right.
Right.
So he solved nothing at the two biggest areas of need last offseason that remain the two biggest areas of need, but I'm supposed to trust him to go do it again. So that's why I have no faith in him. How do you get to the rest of the way? There's five games left. You can't keep jumping off sides. You can't keep false starting. You can't keep lining up improperly.
Right.
It's not fair to Drake May's development. He'll snap. I think he's a diamond. You can't break him, but he might snap. It might be a detriment to his mental health.
Or he might start just counting down the days before he can get out of here.
Right, and that's
bad. And not want to re-sign and not want to pick up the fifth. You know, like I could see all that happening too.
So, but short answer, because Jerod Mayo did say if I had better players, basically, yeah, I'd be making different decisions. But he also said there could be decisions made in this area. Do you think Verdarian Lowe starts at left tackle this week?
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
I think yes, he does.
I'm going to say Mike Onwenu goes to right tackle and somebody plays left tackle. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's, what was the guy's name? McKenzie? I don't know.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pull up the practice squad here.
Caleb Jones.
That's what they're going to have to do is go to the practice squad, which then begs the question.
Or so.
Is it worse to have your left tackle committing a bunch of penalties or a practice squad guy just letting people go by? Now, Verdarian Lowe was letting people go by yesterday, too. But, you know, you want to take a step down from that. And we'll see what Caleb Jones or Jalen McKenzie was the other one. Jalen McKenzie
is
the other tackle that they have there. I don't know much about either one of them, except that Caleb Jones is enormous. He's 6'9", like 380. Just an absolute beast of a guy who's been sitting on the practice squad waiting for his chance here. I don't know. I mean, he's probably, if he can't break in this offensive line, how good can he really be? I'd say that about any of these guys. But also, you wonder, how much worse can they be?
Right.
Really?
That's where I'm at. How
much worse can it get?
And I do think the penalties are doing a lot of damage, more so than maybe, and I could rue this statement, more so than maybe one missed block or one missed assignment because the guy's not.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quite ready, going 3rd and 16 time after time, having penalties and lost yardage and all of those things, chasing the sticks is physically detrimental, but I also think mentally detrimental for everybody. It's like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
We're bums. I feel like you're losing the game.
And then you bench the other guy.
Yeah, and then you bench the other
right?
guy.
Not that Jacobs was having a good game, but he wasn't committing five penalties in the first quarter. Like, wouldn't you bench that guy first?
They benched the guy that I think was struggling more physically than they did the guy that was struggling more with the penalties.
Yeah.
But that's why I wonder if maybe it's City So.
Who do you think Drake May wanted benched more? The guy that's letting people run around and then he has to get out of the way quickly, or the guy who's setting them back to 2nd and 15 every drive?
Probably the guy setting him back.
That's what I think.
I bet you the competitor in him is like, if you miss a block, I'm used to that. I've been doing that.
Right.
I'll run, I'll step up, whatever. But
which he did. I mean, he didn't do it a lot, but I was wondering about that, too, because May, I think, after that whole thing with the concussion, he's talked about, well, I want to be a passer, and I want to be able to move around in the pocket and pass out of the pocket. He's not taking off and running as much anymore. He only did that like three or four times, I want to say.
Yeah, he did it. I thought,
and there were a lot of opportunities, too.
More early in this game than he did early last week. Last week, remember, there were like none early, and I think there was only like three in the totality of the game. There was a little bit more early, but I do think he wants to be a passer, or he wants to show he can be a passer. I don't know if they're at that point where everybody else is ready to show him as a passer. I think he needs to take whatever's available right now.
Five rushes, 26 yards, his longest was 9 yards. So maybe, you know, maybe it just wasn't there. It wasn't really there for anybody else. Hasty had that one big run. Ramondre Stevenson, I'm starting to wonder.
Yeah, you're down on him, and I don't care for it.
2 yards a carry, and I feel like this has been going on for a couple of weeks now with a couple of exceptions here and there. For a team that was expecting him to be their main guy, the main focus of a rushing attack that was supposed to be the centerpiece of the offense, he's looking like a below-average Jag running back
Did you miss the last 10 minutes of the show where we just talked about the offensive line being an absolute mess?
Yeah, we did.
Debacle.
I didn't miss that.
Because Ramondre Stevenson is not as good as I think I expected him to be.
He's very hesitant to hit the holes.
Yeah, there's,
maybe there's not a lot
holes?
Of holes there. But Gibson wasn't like that. Gibson was at least making something happen.
Yeah, but he also has a different skill set.
Sure.
And I think that's sort of his game as a converted wide receiver slasher type.
Gibson had 6 carries for 31 yards. Stevenson 8 for 13.
Yep.
I mean,
well, he had that one play that
the offensive line was bad for both of them. I guess, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I just,
even if he gained 6 yards there, then it's what, 8 carries for 19 yards.
I guess my point would be, not that he's Saquon Barkley by any means. I think if you put Ramondre Stevenson on the Eagles, he'd be a productive running back. I'm not
probably
saying the star.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the offensive player of the year, but I think he'd be a productive. I think this offensive line stinks. I've thought this since day one. If you remember, everybody was like, oh, the line did a good job in Cincinnati. And I was like, he had 118 yards after contact of his 120. He only had 2 yards of before contact. And I was watching last night.
Haven't seen a lot of that since, by
Saquon
the way.
Saquon averages 2.6 yards before contact. Mm. So he gets he averages more than Stevenson gets in totality before contact. Like, that's telling you the difference between the line of scrimmage, the linemen, the holes, the opportunities that are there. So I'm not telling you that Ramondre Stevenson is a great running back. I don't think he's the top 10 guy that Jerod Mayo has been selling him as all year. I also don't think he's incapable. He's a 1,000-yard running back in my mind, behind a good line. Behind a competitive line, he's a 1,000-yard running back.
I could agree with that. I think right now he's on pace for like 800 yards or something along those lines, and this is with a bad one. So, I mean, again, he's not having a good year, and there's an extra week in the season, so 1,000 yards isn't what it used to be either.
Not much at all.
Either way, it's not. I mean, he's not going to hit that, and it seems like week in and week out, there's not really much, and Drake May has to do so much throwing the ball on every down because they can't run the ball, and Stevenson can't make plays.
It's a chore for these skill position players working behind this line. That's just part of the whole problem. The offense stinks. We can kind of parse it and detail it and pick out bright, you know, one catch here, one play there. The offense is really bad, really, really bad. We thought it was trending a little bit upward. And now the bottom has sort of fallen out of it again.
Yeah, and it does go to show that it takes more than a promising young quarterback to drag an offense from the worst in the league to something other than that. And eventually, I don't think it's happening right now. I still think people have a very – like Bryce Young, when he was out there and the Carolina offense was bottom of the barrel, people blamed him for it.
Yep.
People were like, Bryce Young doesn't know what he's doing. He's lining up behind the guard. He doesn't know where to go, and he doesn't know where to go with the ball, and he holds on to it too long and blah, 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 all these problems. Drake May's not getting that same criticism. He's not getting anything close to that. People are praising Drake May even still today after another questionable game. So I think that – in general, people are seeing what we're seeing. It's not just us being fans and, you know, fanboying out for Drake May. But eventually, the reality of it sets in. And if it doesn't change and it doesn't get better, Drake May is going to have to go superhuman next year to make this offense any better.
Well,
and I don't know if that's right. I mean,
it's not fair.
No, it's not a fair thing to ask of your second year or rookie quarterback. It's just not.
It's different but similar to what they did to Mac. They did it coaching-wise.
Yeah.
I think they kind of asked him to do superhuman things in terms of dealing with an unprecedented coaching switch. This would be, well, you know, you're really good, so go out there. Like, it's not a fair task for him. And it's everywhere. Like, even the little stuff, the DeMario Douglas isn't sitting down in zones. Like, there's almost nothing that works, that's functional, that you're like, okay, that's what we do well. The running game is not that. The short passing game is not that, because DeMario Douglas and he are just – 2 weeks in a row. They're not really on the same page. You know, I talked about Booty falling down after pushing off. How many receivers have they had fall down this year? A lot of them.
A bunch, yeah.
A bunch of receivers. So I don't know what that is. Is that on
new cleats?
Cleats? Is that on bad technique in terms of getting out over your feet and having too wide a base? Blah, blah, blah. I have no, but everything for this team is a struggle, from lining up to the snap count to executing blocks to pass protection, because God forbid the other team runs a stunt. You're getting to the quarterback. If you run a stunt, you're getting to Drake May. The only question is, do you tackle him or does he run out and save his own life and save the offense's hide?
Yeah, and that's why it's hard for me to envision a quick turnaround, because these aren't – it's not like Mayo and Van Pelt came in with the scheme and the team's having trouble with the scheme.
No.
They're having trouble lining up.
Yeah.
They're having trouble staying on their feet. They're having trouble run blocking. You know, like, it's just – it's not
– the basics.
The basics, the basic fundamentals that you, in the NFL, and that's – that seems like a thing, you know, like there's times where, let's say they brought in Bobby Slowick in the offseason, and the team has a hard time figuring out his offensive scheme, and it takes a couple weeks, or even takes a couple of months for them to get there.
Right.
You can deal with that, because eventually, you know the basics, right? You're just trying to figure out a complicated offense, and that may take a while, and there's young players, and who the hell knows, other factors, but at least you know you're building towards something. I don't even think you can get to that point right now, just because you're still stuck in neutral here when it comes to the basics.
Everything.
In the NFL.
I watched something yesterday, and I'm drawing a blank now on what game it was, but they ran the simple wide zone boot,
right,
and it opened up like it's supposed to. There was no defensive end ready to hit the quarterback, and there was a tight end dragging across the field at like 11 yards, wide open. Nobody within like 7 yards of him. That's what it's supposed to look like when you hit that play. I don't know that the Patriots have hit that once this year. Either the guy's not wide open, or there's a guy in the quarterback's face immediately who didn't bite on the wide zone on the outside. Like, that is supposed to be one of their bread and butters. We've talked about it. They wanted to be a good screen team. They're not a good screen team.
Nope.
The screens are not overly effective for them at any point. Sometimes they lead to negative plays. Oh, they've been more creative with trick plays. Every one of their trick plays seems to be a struggle, seems to not quite work, seems to not hit the flea flicker screen. Mm-hmm. Alex Van Pelt was like, yeah, usually when you run that, you get like a big play.
Yeah.
We got like 7 yards out of it. This week, you get the throwback where he's throwing into a team meeting, literally. They're all like jumbled mess where, is Ramondre in there?
Right.
I'll just throw it somewhere in there. He should be there. Like, everything is a struggle for them, and that's why
Mego had a decent point for once in her life. And when
ooh,
she shock. Said that, when she said that, you know, not to complain too much here, but we're gonna start having other guys than Drake May throw passes in this game. Like, is that what it's come to?
Well,
is this maybe not the one thing that's working? Is when Drake May throws passes?
It's desperation. But it makes you wonder when you hear like, oh, we had a good week of practice. Did you? Did you really?
Because
my eyes are not allowed out there, but. Did you? So I see the game performance, and I'm supposed to believe that when you rep these things, they look perfect on the practice field. And you like that throwback pass. How many times you rep that? I would hope at least 5, right?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think all 5 they nailed it, and then in the game it was that bad?
Mm.
I'm going to guess no.
Mm.
I'm just going to guess no.
Probably not.
And I just, that's where everything is a struggle for them offensively, and I don't know how you expect that to change, and it's not going to. Actually, I don't know why I'm even saying that. It's not going to change. They're not going to suddenly have this cohesive, oh, my God, they line up perfectly, they block perfectly, we're getting yards, downfield, when we run it, like, that you're not going to get that this year. That's just the reality of this season.
And Mego took a shot at me on Sunday, so this is just the
payback.
Restitution. And it was a backhanded compliment. Hers was just a full-on shot. Either way, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines on a Patriots Monday. We're going to take a quick Patriots breather, however, and talk about the Celtics, who are in action tonight with Kristaps Porzingis back in the lineup. Also have a thought on the Bruins happenings over the weekend. Jim Montgomery, certainly not unemployed for very long. We'll get to all of that next.